Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another opening of
another show. Well, just in case we think the pandemic is not still a factor, well, at least in the theater world, well, notices like this still occur. The upcoming production, Ain't No Mo', has delayed its first week of previews due to COVID within the company, moving the first performance at the Belasco Theater November 3rd to November 9th. Anyway, theaters are still very filled, I must tell you, at least on Broadway, which is where my long week began, with yet another show that previously won a Pulitzer. Seems like every week I'm seeing one of those. Last week was Cost of Living, and this week it's Top Dog Underdog, by the highly prolific Suzanne Laurie Parks. Now, this one played off and on Broadway in the past and earned that Pulitzer in 2002. This is an explosive tale of two brothers sharing a dingy apartment temporarily. To say they are at a low point in their lives is being generous. One has to put on whiteface and wear that hat to portray Abe Lincoln somewhere. "I'm a brother playing Lincoln, and I'm about to be replaced by a wax dummy," he says at one underdog moment. The other brother tries to bring in money via even sketchier ways. Now, did I mention the parents who abandoned them? There was something out there they liked more than us, who named them Lincoln and Booth. That comes to matter here, believe me. It's a two-hander, and it lasts more than 2 hours. I got a little lost at times, but maybe that's because I never heard of three-card Monty before. Watching what can be done with cards on a sliding bookshelf turned table, well, it's a bit like magic. This show is not for everyone, obviously. Harsh language and sad secrets revealed, and yes, that lurking gun. But the performances of Corey Hawkins and Yahya Abdul-Mateen are certainly going to be remembered come Tony time. And then I hit the Public Theater for yet another revival and yet another dealing with race. This being Lorraine Hansberry's 1959 groundbreaking Raisin in the Sun. Like several shows up now, it runs a challenging 3 hours. The audience is pretty diverse, though the public theater crowd still skews white and older, I would say. And I was thrilled to see a large group of middle school students there. Their teacher told me the class was reading Raisin in the Sun. The kids were excited, and that felt hopeful to me for some reason. The big name in the production is Tanya Pinkins as the matriarch of this struggling family living in what is described as a rat trap in Chicago. "Why do you think it's okay for mom to be a tyrant?" her son Walter Lee, played well by Francois Baptiste, asks. There is money coming their way, but that leads to a lot of shouting over each other. Though good lines come through. "You ain't got the pride you were born with." There are some odd directorial choices here from Robert O'Hara, not unlike the current production of Death of a Salesman. In fact, a similarly odd one in which is having a ghost from the past appear to speak in the present. These can be at least momentarily jarring, I'd say. Still, A Raisin in the Sun has not lost its overall necessary power. And speaking of ghosts from the past, then I made my way to the Music Box Theater on Broadway for Gabriel Byrne's one-man dramatization of his memoir called Walking with Ghosts. It was a lovely book, and the show is nicely done. A bit long, at over 2 hours with an intermission, but the actor is 72 and he has a lot to recall. In fact, this only goes up to the very beginning of his acting career. He was mostly on stage, that's after he was a plumber and working in toilets for a while, but then he got his break in a Richard Burton movie. There is humor here and the proverbial memoirish memories of abuse, mental illness in the family, misunderstood parents, and alcoholism. AA should use Burton's monologue on that subject as an advertisement. The direction here isn't always spot on, but either you go with Gabriel Byrne's storytelling or not. Well, he had me with lines like, "I came back, or should I say I came home? I feel like an intruder in my own past and longing to see the world as a child again." Anyway, then I visited Off-Broadway's Signature Complex for the latest new group production called Evanston Salt Costs Climbing. It's written by the rather controversial Will Arbery. This 90-minute piece features four very fine actors, more usage of the F word possibly than I have ever heard on stage. The story covers 3 years in the life of these folks, and it deals primarily with climate change and death. Actually, there is some good humor and a message ultimately about trying to focus on the stuff that matters. I believe it's time, says one character, to discover your neighbors and your children. Interestingly, after seeing the Robert Moses show last week, which features Jane Jacobs as his rival, she was the one who wrote the book about the cities, of course, she's also mentioned in this play. She took on men who wanted to put a highway in Greenwich Village, says the park public works administrator here. So it's been a good season for the long-gone Jane Jacobs. Keep an eye on the bestseller list, by the way. Finally, I visited the Sheen Center for Thought and Culture way downtown on Bleecker Street. They're offering a powerful little piece written by Sarah Treem. She's a well-established writer and directed by the highly active Austin Pendleton. It's a two-hander about a pair of women who, it turns out, have a fascinating relationship. But all we know for much of the show is that they are both in the science field, and their specialty is women's bodies. And their challenge is being taken, and their challenge in being taken seriously in that world. Does a hypothesis keep you warm at night? I said sperm and pathogen in one sentence, and they stopped listening. Nice lines and lovely performances here by Karen Liner and Ariel Goldman. That's at the Sheen Center, S-H-E-E-N. Anyway, all those shows that I've mentioned are in limited runs, by definition, hoping to make it through the end of the year, many of them. So another busy week, Jill, and, well, a few more still to come.
So are you? Did you honestly never hear of Three Card Monty?
I have never heard it.
Never seen? You've lived, how long have you lived in New York?
A
while,
years,
right? Okay, and you've never seen the guys on the street with the three cards?
No, I see them at chessboard, you know, playing chess. Look it up. I did not know what Three Card Monty was.
Okay.
What is it? It's a kind of poker?
No, it's a card game. It's a scam. It's a scam.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a scam for the people who are the marks.
Right.
It's not a scam for the people who are who know what they're doing. But the whole idea is that you pick, and that, you know, it's impossible.
That's right.
It's impossible. It's impossible.
Yeah, you're picking a
it's like the same thing with the shells.
Yeah. I think I learned a lot about it just watching this show, because he does quite a bit of it, by the way. That's how he makes his money, I guess, by, like you said, scamming people.
Yes, but again, this is the point. Obviously, and who knew that was? I'm raising this not to giggle, but basically to say you never know what you're going to discover in a show about something that you then, if you go back, go home, go look it up. You know, it gives you, there is, I want to say there's an educational component that can be quite enlivening.
Absolutely.
Totally.
Look, I'm sure a lot of people
didn't
know who Jane Jacobs was in this play that I just saw. So now people are probably looking up Jane Jacobs, and it wouldn't surprise me if they go out and buy that old book.
Again, which is the point of the exercise.
There you go. So you learn about her, and I got to learn about Three Card Monty, which I guess I'm going to take up, and, you know, next time you see me, I'll be on the street.
It's a career choice. Anything getting ready to open? We've got a couple more minutes that you're looking forward to, or is it just
the
general...
I did sneak a peek at one that's going to open called Almost Famous, but I can't talk about it yet.
But we all remember Cameron Crowe writing for Rolling Stone.
There you go. And that's, of course, what the movie was about and what the show was about. Full House. But I'm not going to talk about the show yet. But Some Like It Hot is opening in about a week or so. And that's obviously, another screen to stage. And what's the other one that's coming? Well, K-pop is opening. There are a few opening that I'm heading west next week, so I might have to wait on some of these. But yeah, there's stuff opening on the holidays, and the question is how many are still around by January.
And then the other question is whether or not but you said people are by and large out in force.
I would say almost every show I've been to, even at the little off-Broadway thing, even the new, Now, a lot of them off Broadway are often friends of the cast, or, you know, crew or something like that. But yeah, I, you know, the Gabriel Byrne show, I'd say, was about three quarters filled. That's one I would. He's hoping to go through the end of the year. I hope he makes it. But it's probably, you know, you could be the third on people's list. There's a lot of excitement now about what people want to see. I mean, nobody can get into the Robert Moses show with Ray Fiennes. Forget that. That's sold out. And that's one to watch. You know, is there any chance they would extend it or move it to Broadway? I don't think so, but they certainly could.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.